Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, that man had a lot on Raw Monday night, and so was everybody else watching. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kayfabe Corner Presents the Dark Main Event. We are on the air everywhere on the vast Blog Talk Radio Network. I am your host with the most big mouth, if it makes any sense. My name is Steve Demain, and filling in for Josh this week is a man from the mean streets of Idaho. He's a former radio jockey. He's a former talk show host, all that kind of other stuff. Our buddy Dizzle, David Levitt. David, what's going on, man?
Hey, thanks, Steve. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Thanks for filling in this week.
Stepping in. Free Josh. Yeah, I was glad to even be thought of and kind of mentioned about what was going on with the spot needing to have somebody come in and guest and host and just kind of offer a second or third or the fourth opinion that anybody would probably spout off the top of their head, but... You know, I'm here. So let's get the show on the road.
You are here. And like I said, we are being presented by kayfabecorner.com. As always, thank you very much to that wonderful website that I just happened to write for. Hint, hint. But let's get right into this. Raw Monday night was, again, from somewhere. I don't keep track of what city they're in. It doesn't really matter to me. But, this is the Daniel Bryan show.
It wasn't Canada. I know that part. No, they weren't in Canada this year. Oh, I thought I had it on the top of my head, but I didn't. Well, that's how a great host prepares, folks.
let's talk about Daniel Bryan, because that was the main theme of the show. He was absolutely everywhere on this thing.
Well, they put him in kind of like a beast mode. They've been putting that dissension of him and Kane for the last couple of weeks of him being the weak link and having to try to prove himself. And he's been doing that by turning up his game and his intensity. A lot of us who've watched in the past have probably seen him with this level of intensity because in WWE he's been toned down. But now they're starting to bring him out and they're starting to put this aggressive angle on him to where it's going to look like he's going to be pushed into a contendership and hopefully be one of the main challengers to Dolph Ziggler over the summer.
I agree. I think he's getting pushed to a contendership, but I don't think it's to Ziggler. I think he's going to feud with Cena after Cena's done with Ryback and Daniel Bryan's finally going to get a WWE Championship match.
I hope they put him up there somewhere near the top because he deserves every minute of camera time he's on there. He's one of the most entertaining factors on the show. In my standpoint, that's why I tune in still.
Yeah, absolutely. He definitely is. But, boy, Raw started very interesting. We had a surprise appearance from Stephanie and Vince McMahon. We haven't seen Stephanie since Raw 1000 when she kicked Paul Heyman's ass. But Stephanie didn't let Triple H wrestle. Now, there were rumors that they were going to do the storyline and he had a concussion and he couldn't do it. But the way they did it, to have Stephanie and Vince be heels was, I don't know. I didn't like that so much.
Yeah, I think they were trying to relay to the audience that, you know, these guys do get hurt, and concussions is one of those things that's their hot topic issue when they go backstage. They have been rumored to have Vince and Stephanie come back at some point or another and do a similar angle to this with Triple H as the focal point to try to get him out of the ring. They kind of had to hit fast forward on it and wanted to push everything up. Just from some of the news that came out before Raw started, the rumors that I put online that Vince McMahon had walked into the building and asked the writers to rewrite the entire episode of Monday Night Raw on Monday, come out about 2 hours before showtime, that he wasn't impressed with some of the things that they were trying to present and that he was going with his own storyline. So pretty much the leading off of the show and certain parts of the show were definitely a little more improvised this week than they were on a normal week where a TV script would come through and everybody be prepped and ready to go. Mm-hmm. It's a fast forward they're known to have ideas and push them forward. And this idea with Stephanie and Vince coming back to hopefully try to pop a little bit of a rating against Game 7 of the Pacers and the Heat was the idea of why they brought it forward so fast. And I don't know. Well, we know it didn't. We know it didn't really succeed. The first hour was probably the best hour of the show.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was Game 7, and you know sports are always going to do better than WWE until Nielsen puts in the Twitter ratings, and then, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, I didn't really like that whole thing. But the rest of the show was pretty good. That six-man tag team match was awesome. Daniel Bryan wrestling the second time against Rock was just freaking phenomenal, and I loved
it.
And
The Shield segments have been carrying the program the last couple of weeks.
They really have been. They're booking them just fantastically, and I applaud whoever stepped up for them and was like, we need to book these guys strong for 7 months now and just have them decimate everybody because it's working. This is how they should have booked Nexus.
They've made them probably into one of the better stables that they've had for quite a while. I mean, Evolution. People were afraid of those guys. They had kind of that gimmick of being a crew of four people, but the three-man setup was quite nice. They've been built so strong that even just having jobber matches, well, what I'd like to call jobber matches in the current state of WWE, is basically other established superstar getting ready to lay down and do another thing for the new upcoming superstar.
Right.
Dean Ambrose is treated like a diamond. That guy, he's going to have a really good time if he keeps his work up and he stays healthy. And he's one of those guys that they're going to put in a lot of programs because we're going to see his character come out here sooner and later. He's been with a crew. He hasn't been able to develop that individual character. Wait till that comes. That's going to be pretty big. Rollins, he's a great worker, but I'm not quite sure on his character by himself. And Reigns, well, he's just a big dude, and Vince McMahon loves that style. So you can't help but see where they're successful and why they're successful. All of them have a good skill set. They all can talk, and right now, they're pretty much carrying the company storylines on television.
Yeah, they are. They're really elevating the mid-card titles, too, because Kofi wasn't doing anything with the U.S. title, like, at all.
No, Kofi was stuck in a rut, and by all fairness, I believe he did have surgery here this last week.
He had elbow surgery,
and they say he's going to be out for about 2 months after that. And, he's been one of those guys that has been pretty utility-based, and when they put the U.S. strap on him, I think it was for the utility of being able to bring Dean Ambrose out and have a good set of matches with him. He's been working hurt for a while, and you got to give that to Kofi Kingston because he doesn't have to work hurt.
Right.
It's up to them to carry a title, and after they realize they're hurt while they're carrying a title, it's not seen as being disrespectful of not just dropping the belt and then leaving, but if you're hurt that bad, you shouldn't be there at work at all. So, their concept is get off you and do the rest of what you were going to do before you left and then, leave.
Yeah, get out.
There's been stories going around that of people not leaving the right way. Mark Henry is one that is the stories have been going around about how he decided to just basically leave. He's got an injury, but they didn't quite find a way to write him out, and the way he asked to leave was not satisfactory upon Vince McMahon's opinion, and made the example of Kofi Kingston continuing to work while hurt to Mark Henry, and Mark wasn't listening and decided to go home. So there's a little bit of heat on Mark Henry. That's another story down the line, but Kofi, when he gets back, I'm pretty sure will be right back in that same spot he's at, and hopefully they try to elevate him and do something different with him because he's been in that spot for quite a long time.
Yeah, Kofi needs a repack really, really bad. I mean, I know his character's over with the younger crowd, and he's a great babyface, and that's all well and good, but he's stale. He really desperately, desperately needs a new character. I don't even know what his character is now in the first place.
I think he's just the Jamaican guy from Queens, isn't he?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
And he went to Boston College, whatever.
Oh. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
The level of consistency of some of the mid-level card, talent in WWE, their facts change after they're, used. Prime example is our friend Curtis Axel.
Well, we can get to him in a minute, but the Fandango thing from Monday night, this really bothered me. In the past, Fandango just kind of gave up against Kali, which is, you know, bad enough in itself because Fandango shouldn't be just walking out on Kali. But then Wade Barrett has his match with The Miz, and Fandango comes right back out like he wasn't just out there 2 seconds ago, and Wade Barrett's so distracted, like, I can't believe this guy's out here. What is he doing? And it was just like, this is really stupidly written. And that looked to me like one of those things that was improvised.
Well, I think they're trying to figure out a way how to get the Intercontinental title off of Wade Barrett without him losing. So what do? Let's have a three-way. It's, you know, it's like holla, holla, holla. Let's have a tag match. It's the same thing, you know. The three-way is definitely used to take a belt off somebody without making the champion do the job. And I think they're trying to figure out a way to put that Intercontinental title around Fandango's waist as fast as possible, because that's one of the current ideas that has a big rub right now. That crowd for the Raw after Mania really did a little bit of a wacko job on that creative department.
You're welcome, creative.
Two head writers being terminated within an 8 or 9 week period, I think, is what the...
I think it was six, actually.
The situation. Wow. Yeah, 6 weeks is kind of nuts. And I've explained this on the Kayfabe Corner Facebook page about how they have two writing teams, and one's a home writing team and one's a road writing team, and that they switch intermingle places every now and then. Some of them will go on the road, do house shows to develop ideas with guys, and they ran out of stuff with Fandango already. You can see they ran out of certain things with him already. And, well, let's put a title on him because that makes him important in some people's eyes. Well, that Intercontinental title has been passed around like a wash rag at a baby convention, you know? Let's just wipe everybody's butt with it. There's no meaning to those two titles, the United States and Intercontinental title, except when there's a credible wrestler holding them. And, you know, right now, Wade is just not cutting it. The Miz is in the middle of the road, and Fandango's the newest hot thing. So let's try that.
Yeah.
I think that's where they're going. That's just my opinion of where they're going with it, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're going to eventually put on Fandango. Side note, Fandango, don't shave your facial hair, dude. You look like you're 12. It looks terrible. He came out, and I was just like, oh, my God, what did he do? It looks so bad, but that bothered me. The app cut-ins with, you know, hey, Zeb Coulter is doing an interview during a Biggie Langston Alberto Del Rio match. That's related. Like, yeah.
I kind of thought that somebody really needs to come up with a drinking game. We talked about the drinking game, didn't we? The WWE
Adam
Twitter Cole mentioned drinking game.
Yes,
so we need to come up with that because we would be hammered by hour number two. We would not remember. What's going on?
I'm trying not to remember. I think I might need to start doing that. The Curtis Axel thing, let's get to that real quick. He fought John Cena again. And, he won by count out again. Is this guy going to get a pin anytime soon?
I think that this is just probably going to end up being his gimmick for a little while. He's going to have to, I mean, who's the one person that he did beat? Sin Cara. He beat Sin Cara on main event, which about three people saw. You know, three people might have saw it. But, you know, these established wins by DQ or by misdirection, they really don't do anything to elevate his ability in the ring. When I evaluate some of these guys, I look at them as from their standpoints of when they can work and then how they can talk. Well, we know why Paul Heyman is with Curtis Axel. Because Curtis is not working the mic all too well. So we put this amazingly talented wrestler who has third-generation skills, he knows exactly what he's doing in the ring, and you put him in there and try to give him a little bit of an enforcer personality. I kind of see that personality coming out of him. I'd like to see him presented more of like that Arn Anderson enforcer, you know, mentality that's set from the past as part of a stable. But you can't really have the stable there if you don't have them all at TV every week. You can't work with Punk and Lesnar and, you know, be the third guy in their little group if Punk and Lesnar aren't there. So there's a hole in the character and the elevation of who he is. And Heyman can only carry certain people to a certain place as long as they need to, you know, be there. But it's going to be up to him to eventually get over with that audience. And so far... I like him. I want to see him do better. But I don't think it's going to be any time in the near future besides of them doing this cheesy DQ, you know, weird wins. It's something that's straight out of the middle of the 80s in the old NWA that they used to do back in the day. It's a push. That's all it is. It's a push until we can figure out something real to do.
I think what they're setting up is Triple H versus Curtis Axel at Payback, and Axel first, you know, pin victory over Triple H at that point. Because, I mean, they got to have this guy do something.
And to me, that's a good idea because, I mean, getting a win over Triple H on pay-per-view, it should be on Raw the next night, in my opinion, because more people will see it. But, you know, the honor and the tradition of it all is to do it on pay-per-view where more eyes have paid for it. So I guess that's the standpoint that they're going for. I'd still like to see a little bit more of a aggressive presentation from Curtis Axel and to have him be a little bit more independent, though.
I think it's okay for now. I mean, he just debuted. You get him over. Heyman's going to get him over, especially with Punk coming back. You have Punk and Axel team up in tag team matches, but I think Punk and Heyman might be breaking up soon. Let's get to Punk up. Heyman and Jericho had a contract signing last night, and I thought it was interesting that at first they had advertised Punk being there, and then they kind of took him off like, oh, shit, we weren't supposed to show him. But I thought that contract signing was one of the best segments, if not the best segment of the entire night.
Well, I liked a little bit of the dialogue to it. They were talking back and forth, and they did their little insults and their little banter back and forth. But some of it was a little bland to me. It was a good segment because of who the two guys are. And it's Heyman and Jericho. I mean, the reason why we were looking at Chris Jericho is because of Paul Heyman. It's a known fact. It's past history in the business of professional wrestling that Paul Heyman is the first person to have brought Chris Jericho really into the United States to have him work under a decent national audience in Extreme Championship Wrestling. Jericho is who he is. He's a rock star. He's always been a rock star, but now he's a real rock star doing his Fozzy stuff, and he comes back and forth, and he brings a little bit of that audience back to the product, and, you know, there's a dynamic between them that's definitely kind of cool when they're talking. But it didn't seem like what they were saying was important, and it probably would have been a little bit more important if Punk would have been there. But I'm having a feeling that something different's going to happen with that Punk angle that is going to take us all by surprise.
I have a hunch on that. I think he might not be there in the first place, or he might be there, but he might come out and be like, I'm not ready to compete. Heyman shouldn't have accepted the match on my behalf, and there's going to be tension in between Punk and Heyman, and I think this is the start of a breakup angle. I'm not sure, but...
Yeah, I think that's probably the direction that they should go in, definitely. Punk and Lesnar would be a good drawing match, especially at SummerSlam. You know, they're both ready to go. If Punk's knees are holding up to what they're supposed to be doing, I've heard the concept of them going through and scoping his knees out, and then I've heard other people saying that he needs time off. So Punk is keeping it real quiet to his condition and what's going on also.
I think that's probably the smart way to do it, especially with a top guy like him. Just, you know, everybody knew about the creative, and, you know, he just needs time off and just let it, you know, leave him alone. Let him do what he needs to do.
Yeah, he's working us.
He's working us.
That's the best thing Punk does, is he works us all.
All right, that was Raw from Monday night. We are going to move on and bring in our favorite segment on the entire show. It is Girl Meets Wrestling. We are going to bring in our favorite casual fan on the entire planet, Miss Bethany Staples. Hey, Bethany, what's going on?
Hello, man. How's it going?
Well...
Going good? You know, I have to get my chihuahua in the house. Go inside, dog. There you go.
I just had to crate mine because they decided to get all up inside my cup of sunflower seeds that I had.
Dogs, what are you going to do?
Crate them. Call names.
Oh.
I can't crate my little buddy. My little buddy's whole crate is the house, and... Well, I just can't do that.
I've lost the show to the dogs already, and we're only 20 minutes in. This is going to be an interesting segment. So for those of you who have not listened to this before or are new, Bethany is a casual fan. She hasn't seen a lot of classic matches or older matches or gimmick matches. So we show them to her, she sits down and watches them and takes notes, and she gives us her opinion about their hair and their boots and occasionally the wrestling, too. And,
absolutely.
What we did this week, as promised last week, I promised everybody I would give Bethany a Three Stages of Hell match, and she got her Three Stages of Hell match, Triple H and Steve Austin, right?
That's right.
All right.
At
right
No
ahead.
Way Out 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It was good. You know, I like always, I took some notes, and so we tried to open up this, we tried to watch one video on YouTube that they had, that didn't have any of the backstory, but it had this really annoying logo in the bottom corner of the screen. So we're like, screw this, we're going to turn on a different video. So we turned it on, and luckily I got to see, you know, the backstory a little bit about their feud. It looked pretty fucked up. Like there was some definitely some bad blood going on there. So I'm actually really glad that I was able to watch that and kind of get a better idea as to why things got so brutal. And one of the first things I actually wrote down was, ha, 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 Michael Cole had blonde hair. It was so cute.
He did, and a bad mustache.
And a bad mustache. It was adorable. So I thought that that was funny. And then, of course, you know, have to comment on the outfits. If their outfits dictated anything, you'd think that they would be besties because they came out in almost the exact same gear. And so I thought that that was kind of funny. Like, one of them wasn't wearing elbow pads, and that was the only difference. They, you know... I thought it was kind of neat. But, you know, as far as the match goes, I thought that it was really interesting. The first one, the first stage, was pretty cool. Stone Cold, you know, was mostly kicking ass. And I really like the way that they wrestle together. They do a lot of these, like, target area moves, I guess. I don't know the actual proper term for it, but where they're targeting, you know, the elbow or the knee and Stone Cold's neck. Things like that. So I thought that was really cool. I like that.
Technically, that's called working a hold.
Working a hold. Okay. Well, I'm just going to call it that they were doing target area moves because that's
exactly
what I want to call it. And then the street match got brutal. That was like with the fighting in the aisles and beating with the chairs and stuff. It was pretty exciting, although I thought it was kind of funny that Triple H kept trying to run away. It just kind of made me chuckle. Like, you could see this look on Stone Cold's face, just like, fucking really? Get back here. Like, he'd be distracted for 2 seconds, turn his back, and then, you know, fucking Triple H is halfway up an aisle trying to run away. And then got excited. Jeremy pointed it out to me, and so I made him rewind and show me again. We got to see Jimmy Noonan.
Buddy Jimmy Noonan.
Yeah, I was so excited to see that. Jeremy had gotten the fortune, was very fortunate to be able to interview him, and I was the one that typed up the interview, which meant I got to listen to it before anybody else, and so, and I do believe at one point he called me pretty, and so ever since then I kind of get a little heart melty for Noonan.
Aww.
So
that's so sweet.
Yeah. So, then came the barbed wire weapon thing, and as soon as it came out, I went, oh, fuck. And then I just started thinking to myself, like, you guys always pick the really super bad ones that make me squeamish, you know? And I'm sitting there cringing the entire time. And the first hit goes to Stone Cold's head, and he's bleeding. And, you know, as I'm writing down my notes about how squeamish I am, Jeremy's like, I miss blood, as he's watching it. And I was like, what? And so that part was, geez, you know, blood everywhere. And this is what I think is funny. I wrote down at the time, I hope that's the last we see of that barbed wire thingy. And so, yeah,
of course not.
And then, you know, the hidden sledgehammer. How did the announcers not know that it was there? I thought that was funny.
They're idiots. They're wrestling in it. What do you expect?
Yeah. Right, yeah. So, and then, you know, Triple H wins, and that was neat. But then at this point, I was really starting to wonder how much more can happen because it had just gotten, in my opinion, super brutal, like to what I had seen mostly. And then I just realized that the barbed wire thingy was trapped in the cage with them. So I was like, oh, no. So Triple H gets it, and then Stone Cold gets it. And it was just like, I don't know, it was insane. And I loved the match. The one thing that I had to think about, though, was thinking forward to this three stages of hell match that they're going to do with Ryback and Cena. Like, I honestly am a little bit leery of how they're going to pull it off because, one, obviously they're not going to be able to have as much blood in it. Two, it's not going to be as gruesome, I don't think, you know, or just really, like, Cena's got five moves. So what's he going to do, go in there and pull the five moves? Or, you know, typically I think what is going to happen is, like, every other fucking long match that he does, he's going to get his ass kicked, thrown around by Ryback for an hour, and then, you know, or for close to an hour, and then the next, you know, the last 10 minutes is Cena doing his five moves and does a you can't see me five-knuckle shuffle, and then for some reason Ryback can't get up. And that's, like, that's how I'm going to, you know, that's how I foresee it happening. And so I'm a little bit, like, not as excited about it as I was when I first heard about it.
Well, I mean, Cena can brawl, though. And in matches like that when he does, you know, last man standings or something like that, I will give him credit. He's a good brawler, and he knows how to make stuff without blood. So I'm not as worried about that as you are, especially with him working with Ryback.
Yeah.
And you've got a lumberjack match, and you've got a tables match. And you saw, you know, Ryback. I'm sure Ryback's going to lose the tables match because he used three tables on SmackDown on Friday. And that's just the way WWE books shit. But, I mean, for a lumberjack match, you got Ryback. He could take out 10, 15 guys out there and make it just look really awesome.
That's true. That is a good point. I didn't think about the lumberjack match. No, that's a good point. And you know, Cena does, as much as he annoys me. See, it's starting to get to me personally. Now everything he does, I hate. But Cena, he does actually sell a move pretty good sometimes. Like, you know, when he takes a hit, not as good as, you know, somebody like Ziggler or something. But he can, you know, he can take a hit and make it look like it hurts a lot worse than maybe it did or, you know, things like that. So, I don't know. You know, it's up in the air for me, but for this match itself, I thought that it was really good. I thought that it was funny that Triple H won by passing out.
He was
knocked out.
And falling on top of Austin.
Yeah, so I thought that was good. All in all, you know, 5 out of 5 hair flips. I think, once again, you guys made a terrific choice, and I was very entertained the entire time.
Well, I'm glad you were.
That match is one of my top 10. The Triple H and Stone Cold Steve Austin match, just for the sheer fact is that they worked really hard, really tough, like 25-minute first segment, and then the second segment kicked in, and the brutality just went off the chain in that match.
Right.
The background of that match, too, is absolutely, you know, the whole, I had Rikishi hit you with the car, or was it who hit me with the car, and it takes you way back to that Attitude Era of when it was just completely off the chain. They didn't care. There was no protecting each other, and they were more interested in the craft of putting together matches that got people's attention than they were about getting TV next week. So,
right.
Yeah, that match is personally in one of my top 10. It is in my top 10. It's pretty high in my top 10.
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic match, and I, again, like I said, I loved the backstory or the fact that, you know, I got a little bit. I didn't get the complete stories behind everything, but, you know, I did see Stone Cold getting hit by the car, and then I saw him just beating up Stephanie. So I was like, shit. No, he didn't. And,
yeah, he did.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, that right there, you could tell that it was actually very heated, a very heated feud, so... Yeah, once again, a great choice in the match. And even though it was, I think the one that we watched was just under an hour. It was like 56 minutes or something like that. I didn't move. I didn't get up. I didn't get bored. You know, took a couple pages of notes, and so I was intrigued the entire time. So that's good.
That's great. And I just got to say, wait till next week, because I've got a real treat for you next week that you are going to love and be completely shocked by. And I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. It's going to be a surprise as always. But you are going to love this thing, trust me.
Awesome. And I just want to say, for any listeners that are out there right now, you have to know that, so Steve and a couple of other people, you know, Jeremy, they'll take match suggestions from other people. They'll take them into, you know, under advisement, and they basically come up with a match that they want me to watch. But they don't tell me until about 2 days prior to the show. And so usually what it is my night, you know, my days off are Sundays and Mondays, and that's actually soon going to be changing, but my days off as it is are Sundays and Mondays, and so usually the plan is to tell me by Sunday, and then I have Sunday or Monday or at the very least Tuesday when I get off of work before the show to watch it. But I really don't get any heads up beforehand. Like with this one, I had no idea what it was until Jeremy had it queued up today on YouTube. Because Steve will just tell Jeremy what it is. And, you know, if I bother to ask, he might tell me or he might not. But I don't want you guys to think that I'm, like, doing any research or knowing way ahead of time. I really don't know literally until the last minute.
She really doesn't. I can vouch for that. And, Bethany, before we let you go, I got a voicemail today, actually, a celebrity endorsement, and I thought you might want to be on the line to hear it. So just let me queue this up real quick. And,
yes, just
1 second here.
Hello. No one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
John Travolta here. Just can't let you know that I love your podcast. I listen to it every Tuesday while eating a large jar of bean dip. When I'm done, my shit comes out like greased lightning. I really liked it when the Joker called you in your show. That was so weird. I'm downloading last week's episode so I can listen to it all at my massage appointment. I'm really hoping the guy will play my butthole. Anyway, I never thought I'd get a chance to call into your show, but look who's talking now. Much love and praise, Zenu. Bye.
Wow.
Well, thank you, John Travolta. That was very kind.
How does he have your phone number?
I don't even know, but apparently he got it from Joker because he shouted Joker from his message.
I'm wondering if Steve is his masseuse, is what I'm starting to wonder.
Hey, hey, hey. That's private between me and Travolta, all right?
Boy, you're getting some stars to listen to your show. I'm excited about that. That's awesome.
Hey, you know, you never know who's going to show up on the Dark Main Event. It's always a surprise.
It is. Well, I love it. That's awesome. He should have shouted. He should have given me a shout out. But I'm a chick, so maybe that's why.
It is the internet and all. Like, you know, anybody can tune into this thing. It's kind of odd, isn't it, guys?
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Bethany, for doing your weekly segment. We'll see you back here next week for a freaking awesome match.
Yes, I will talk to you guys later. Have a good rest of your podcast there, Dave.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, it feels like
fantastic
home.
Fantastic time. I love when Bethany comes on. Everybody loves when Bethany comes on. It's so much fun.
Dude, a girl that will sit down and watch any wrestling match is, like, somebody that, like, you better not let go of because it's rare. So, Jeremy, you sit on her lap. Make sure she doesn't leave. Keep her there.
Easy, Dizzle, easy.
Well, you know, it's probably the two biggest loves of my life is women and wrestling, so
I hear you.
Scary.
Speaking of women in wrestling, we had a pretty good women's wrestling match on Sunday night at TNA Slammiversary. We're actually going to talk some TNA on the show. And,
my God.
Wow, Slammiversary was surprisingly really fucking good.
Actually, the first hour was a surprise to me because the X Division match, I was expecting what was going to happen with Chris Sabin being put in back into the spot of the X Division champion. And the six-man tag was kind of odd because Hogan kind of like booked it on the fly and it had already been announced on TV the week before. And so that was kind of weird. I think Hogan was on drugs, painkillers, due to his hand injury, you know. I'm pretty sure of it because that promo that he cut with Mr. Anderson and the other two dorks, Mr. Mace and Ace, I just used to give those guys names now because they're dorks. They just made Aces and Ace completely into a bunch of dorks. No, the promo that he cut, calling those guys pussies, well, I'm glad that's not TV-14, or that I'm glad this is TV-14, you know, this is okay.
Yeah.
But that promo that he cut kind of floored me a little bit because he went a little bit out of line and he was kind of out of place and we were kind of wondering what he was talking about.
Just a little bit.
The only thing that was disappointing in the first hour was the Abyss Joseph Park angle that they tried to pull. God, you probably got the recap there and I'm rambling. Go ahead.
No, I do have the recap. I did get a chance to watch the show back. I wasn't able to watch it live on Sunday, but first off, I want to say props to Chris Sabin for not tearing an ACL in an Ultimate X match. Good for him. I'm kind of sad Kenny King lost the title, though. I actually like Kenny King. I know a lot of people don't like him because they think he has no personality and he's boring. I'm a big Kenny King fan. I think that guy's got a lot of potential, and he could go places in TNA.
I think he's got the work behind him. He's definitely a very good worker, and then seeing him in there with Suicide, you know, the former TJ Perkins from Ring of Honor, it was somebody that he was familiar with, and Saban, because Saban, you know, has worked in Ring of Honor before. But there is something lacking. And I don't know if it's the angle that he's in or, you know, what they got going on with him, but they put the strap on him, and then, like, I kind of forgot about him. And he's had that belt for 3 months. And I don't think we saw him on TV any more than 2 or 3 times in that 3 month period. So it's really hard to kind of focus on that belt and that angle without giving him enough TV time.
Well, no, because TNA has a rule now where they defend the X Division Championship every week. So I've been on all the time.
And they're just... The three-way matches, though, that they have on, sometimes they're confusing. And I know they have them on there.
That's true.
It just shows you some of the things that I retain. Because usually, I mean, if I'm not watching live on Thursday, I'll go back and I'll watch them Saturday night. And I'll watch them without commercials on Saturday night. And make sure that I try to pound all that information in, you know, within an hour and 24 minutes that they give you of program content from TNA. And they're, you know, some of the stuff, like, if I miss some of the stuff, it's because they're not telling the story right. there's not.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's not being told. It's not. I'm not retaining it. He is kind of bland, but he does have that outlet to work himself into a better position, yet they don't, it's kind of that under-talent thing that they do to people in TNA. They handcuff them.
Yeah, they kind of do, and, but yeah, I'm a big Kenny King fan, and I was kind of sad that he lost the title to Saban, but Saban's great, so I can't be too upset. The six-man tag, whatever, you knew Jeff Hardy was going to win. I don't really want to talk about that, because what is there to talk about? Jeff Hardy wins a big match against Aces and Eights, because Aces and Eights just doesn't win shit.
Right. There was a couple of good things that were going on in that match. One of them was the Samoa Joe segment with Garrett Bischoff. He laid into this kid quite well. To the point to where
Bischoff
made me giggle. Oh, I giggled. When I giggle and I see something like that, Joe's chopping the shit out of that guy.
Yeah, he really
you know,
was.
Like,
Bischoff needs a good ass kicking. Look at who his dad is.
The tag segments between Joe and Magnus, the dual spot sets that they have set up are just absolutely tremendous. And
yeah, they were.
They were a great tag team. They were a great tag team, and just that part of the match kind of made the match. Hardy getting the pin, you know, it is what it is. They want to keep him strong. They want him to run at the belt again, and probably again at some point. They want him to, you know, they want him to stay, because I hear that's a contract that might be ending sometime soon. So
interesting.
Good tag match, though. Good tag match. They had made that announcement that he had re-signed for TNA for a long term. It was supposed to be a 2-year deal, but every one of TNA's dates has 3 months retros on the way out. So essentially, I mean, he can't be tampered with, but if somebody made the third comment gesture that, hey, you know, your deal is what it is, and we're going to make you a better deal over here, that him, there's been a lot of talk of him especially, you know, coming back to World Wrestling Entertainment as soon as that deal, the next 3-month cycle is over with. So they want to put the belt back on him again, which means more rematches with Bully Ray. Which is
great.
Okay. Good matches. They're all right matches, but, you know, we've seen them worked one way, and we've seen them work the other way with the other direction, and now we're going to see them again with a heel this way and Jeff this way. So, I mean, they're gonna run these matches back at us as long as they can, because it's something that they think the people want to see due to marketable names.
Of
and
course,
they got to give it to
course.
Them, Jeff. Jeff Hardy's that marketable name, and I think it's backwards, and that's one of the things that is wrong with TNA.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't know how you didn't like the Joe Park and Abyss thing, though. I love that. I love how they're having kind of pretending that these guys are two separate characters and really pushing them like they're not the same person. I love Joe Park in the first place. Abyss is whatever to me. I think he's cool, but, you know, he's another monster character. I don't give a shit. Joe Park is hilarious to me. I'm so glad they didn't kill him off.
I understand why they're doing what they're doing with the angle and stuff, but the match between him and Devon was a real lumbering and slow. I think it only lasted 4 minutes. It was pretty slow. And, you know, I'm expecting a little bit more from Devon. I think that, you know, the leader, the guy that should be the, you know, the guy behind the president, you know, they're claiming is the second strongest guy. That was kind of like the theme for the show, though. So if you keep going on with the rest of the results, that you kind of see that the Aces and Nates kind of took a hit most of the night, besides, well, the main event. So.
Yeah, completely agree again. And the big thing, big news on the show was the Hall of Fame inductee was announced, and rightfully so, it was Kurt Angle. I love how it's not Jeff Jarrett. That just makes me laugh. But Kurt Angle completely deserves it. He's been in TNA now longer than he's been in WWE, which is really stunning to think about. But Kurt Angle's done some amazing things in TNA despite his bad Twitter rants and his account getting hacked every 2 seconds.
Oh, and despite how he left World Wrestling Entertainment also. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
He didn't leave there on the greatest of terms, and they were worried about his health when he left. But he ended up coming to TNA, and I mean, it was like 11 days after they released him because of his contract, and made a real, real impact in that company's business. I'm really impressed with Kurt because of all the personal things he dealt with, and he stayed in the company. Specifically thanking Jeff Jarrett in that speech was kind of a very classy move. And in the line he said, "When how I lived life here," you know, there's kind of an inside gesture, if people don't understand or know, that Karen Angle is now Karen Jarrett, who was
right.
Once at some point during Kurt's employment in TNA, his wife, and then at some point, she hooked up with Jeff Jarrett and is now his wife. So there's definitely life-altering things that have happened to Kurt Angle in TNA, not only in just his career, but in his personal life, that have made that run a little bit more notable than his WWE run. I know that's his main line of fame, and I'm pretty sure that his angles from World Wrestling Entertainment will be remembered quite well because of just the exposure. But Kurt is pretty much really, besides AJ Styles, the only kind of TNA guy you can really point at and say, that's one of the TNA guys. He can work. He's a wrestler. He's the guy. So, yeah, good props to TNA for recognizing Kurt Angle and his career and all the great things he's been through. But I have to think in the back of my mind that Jeff Jarrett should be one of the next people that they decide to induct.
I kind of hope they leave him out just because of, you know, just to make me laugh, because I think it's entertaining that the first two people in the Hall of Fame were Sting and Kurt Angle and were not Jeff Jarrett, who started the company in the first place. That just makes me smile.
Right.
And, you know, he's getting completely screwed over. Speaking of Kurt Angle, he beat AJ Styles I think the surprise of the night for me, besides the tag team title match, which we'll get to in a second, I really thought AJ Styles was going to win that match.
AJ worked that match pretty tough. That was a real good match. I've seen a lot of their stuff from the past in TNA, and everything that they do in the ring is just crisp and concise and very much to the point to where they tell the story in the ring. And that's more the wrestling they should be presenting in TNA. That's just my opinion. It catches my attention a lot more, and it makes me think and talk about the product, and makes me think, oh, I got to be in front of my TV when Impact starts, you know? Just great matches that they've had in the past, and this was just another one on top of it.
I thought the finish was really shitty. You know, it's a counterpin and a counterpin.
It was just a quick roll-up, and then boom, it was done, yeah. Just kind of a shockwave. They have a certain finish that they just want to do, and it's just kind of probably a continuation of what's going on. I hate when they use pay-per-view matches as continuations to a storyline that's going to happen on TV for the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks. But TNA still does that.
It's a waste of a match, I think. I mean, I get why you do it, but that, you know, you have, especially with TNA, you have, you know, only 4 major pay-per-views a year. You've got time to do continuation. You shouldn't be doing continuation matches on a major show like this.
And not to mention, too, they've already blown. This is the 3rd pay-per-view this year. There's only 1 more pay-per-view for them. So
yeah,
I mean,
Bound for Glory in October, right?
Believe so, yeah. And I think they're talking about a Destination X special that might air on Spike.
I've
heard something about that, but it's not been confirmed. So Hogan to cut the promo there at the end of the Saban match and put the promo over on him saying that you're going to get the world title shot at the Destination X event. So something's going to happen. And maybe they'll make another one of those one-night-only pay-per-views and make it another one that's another one, though, directly made towards... They already released Extravaganza here in, like, April. So you're going to have one of these pay-per-views that is a taped pay-per-view that's going to mean something now? I'm kind of confused. Once again, TNA confusing me.
Yeah, what else is new, right?
Exactly.
Speaking of confusing, good for James Storm for finally getting a title because he's been screwed and screwed and screwed and screwed and screwed. But, I mean, Gunner? Like, really? Gunner just came back. And, like, hey, we're going to put the tag belts on you and James Storm instead of Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, who deserve them.
I don't understand the concept of the booking, especially since James Storm is hurt right now.
Yeah.
And you're even watching the match. I'm amazed that he got through some of the things that he got through. I'm hearing that, it's been reported that his ankle, and I think he's got some torn muscles in his belly or something like that, that he's working through. I guess he worked through on the road here this last weekend and worked the pay-per-view. So I don't buy it. I really don't. Gunner is green. Gunner is green as some of the grass that I see growing here on the ground where I live. Turning green, lush. he is by far a mechanical person, but like there is absolutely no reason to have those belts on that team right now. It would have been much better to put it on Bad Influence or Aries and Roode, because Aries and Roode are Bad Influence. You know, they start their own thing and they work back around the horn again. But the thing is, they're recycling that angle. I mean, it's all recycled stuff. That's stuff that they've worked before, and we're going to do it again, except we're going to plug this person into the spot. You know, there's no original concept or thought of what they want to do with the tag titles, because, you know, it's always been known in the past presentation of what things that Eric Bischoff has put out there that he absolutely hates tag team wrestling. And one of them is the Hot Potato.
Yep.
Or the new guy. Yeah, it's a lot of TNA is predictable in my mind, because I've seen it all. It's like WCW again, but and that's an argument for way down the line.
Yeah, way down the line. And we'll get back to Gunnar in a minute. But the best two matches of the night, shockingly, TNA booked a really, really good knockouts match between Taryn Terrell and Gail Kim, last knockout standing. I loved it. I thought it was intense. I thought it was it really surprised me, because I thought it was going to be crap, and it completely wasn't. ODB is a great referee. I don't know where Tiffany learned to wrestle in between the time she left WWE and went to TNA, but that match was just, it was great.
She did have her working boots on. You got to give it to Taryn Terrell for having that ability to just go out and do things that probably we haven't seen her do yet. I mean, I know we've seen her on camera for TNA for probably something like 6 months now, being their Knockouts Division champion, but we haven't seen her really work a good match or take a bump or anything. Well, we've seen her take bumps, you know what I'm saying, in the ring, but not the kinds of bumps that they were taking in this match. One dive out onto the ramp that she landed on her chest, which is a legit bump. She took a bump. It was good, you know.
Yeah,
and then she took a back bump on that ramp. And then when she delivered the bulldog was a little awkward, but yet she took the bump off the ramp onto the floor. Now, I haven't seen any girls in WWE do that recently. Have you?
No, I haven't. I mean, maybe Natalya, if she was allowed to actually wrestle, as opposed to being Great Khali's valet, but...
Well, yeah, instead of just being eye candy and working a little bit of a spot set and then getting out in 3 minutes. I mean, these guys had a really good match that was tough and entertaining, and the finish of the match just kind of, I had a holy shit moment. I fucking freaked out.
Yeah,
I looked and went, I couldn't believe that they went there with that. And it made the finish of the match a lot more special and actually memorable. And you have to give it, you know, a lot of props for them to be putting out that kind of an effort and putting together such a nice little match, because it's not really anything that we haven't seen before. It's just something that hasn't been done in TNA for a while, since probably Awesome Kong, you know?
Right, yeah.
Gail Kim's a wonderful worker. She can put together matches with most anybody, but Taryn really held up her end, and I got to give her a lot of respect for that.
Yeah, definitely. And real quick, because we have to move on here, and I have a couple other things I want to get to. Sting and Bully Ray, Sting's last chance, no holds barred, TNA World Heavyweight Championship. I have never seen a finish like that in my entire life.
I got another holy shit pop out of that one, too. Bully right there towards the end, goes and cuts parts of the apron off, and then cuts the actual canvas off the ring, pulls back the mat, and exposes the planks that put together most any of those size rings, the 18 by 18 foot rings. They have planks in them instead of having the three pieces like the World Wrestling Federation rings have.
Right.
Just the pulling up part of it, you knew something was going to happen. And then to pull the pile driver off, he cut a promo earlier in the night to talk about how he was going to pile drive Sting and explained what he was going to do beforehand, and then pulled out the exposing. When he started exposing, I stood up. I was actually standing there in front of the TV going, are you going to do this? And by sure they did it, with Bully delivering a pretty good pile driver there. And then, you know, taking back, he took back the Scorpion Death Drop on the same spot there in the exposed wood. And I believe they broke at least one of those pieces of wood.
Yeah, they definitely did.
While they were working.
I'm surprised Sting didn't get hurt, but, you know, I mean, that pile driver was amazing, and I've never seen a finish like that. And I'm kind of glad Sting lost. Hopefully this means he's going to retire. Now he gets no more title shots if they stick to the stipulation.
They need to stop presenting these old guys. I mean, they need to put that title on somebody who's meaningful, who's young, who can carry the belt.
Well, they don't have anybody like that.
Well, seeing they do, and they've just devalued them badly. I mean, you can't put the title back on AJ because he's kind of the lone wolf. And, you know, you did have it on Joe for a while, and he had his run, but current management
don't
think...
You can't stick it on Aries because he's in a tag team.
Yeah, you can't stick it on Rude because he's in a tag team. You know, there's they booked themselves into a corner.
They did.
And they're using the old crutches to keep things started. You know, when a segment starts on Impact and Hogan is the first one out with a microphone, I change the channel. I go, I can watch this later. I can get a wrap-up of it in 30 seconds. And when he stands here and talks for 10 minutes and says something he could say that would take 2 minutes to say.
Of course, yeah.
You know? So there's some reasons where they lose me as part of their audience, because just not necessarily an attention span, just old
mm-hmm.
presentation. We've seen it before. They got to
yeah,
come up with different ways to present what they're doing. I mean, it's kind of WWE's fault too at the same time, because they're doing the same thing and they're trying to change, but TNA they're set in their old ways. And I mean, just the way television is produced from them, it's no different than what World Championship Wrestling is, except different graphic packages and, you know,
essentially,
new dudes, you know?
Pretty much, yeah.
The main event of that show, though, was really good. Bully keeping the title is the right thing to do, even though Aces and Eights is fucking played out. They're going to have to turn on each other and start cutting away weak links to make it a little bit more interesting. And I don't think that they even think that they're going to do that. They're just going to make it big, blow it up until it blows itself up, and, you know, we're going to get stuck with it for another year on TV, maybe.
Mm-hmm. NWO 2.0, and not the crappy WWE revision of the NWO. The WCW version,
yeah,
where Dusty Rhodes joined at one point.
Definitely agree with that.
Yeah, but that was Slammiversary. I give Slammiversary a solid 8.5 out of 10. Really good pay-per-view, one of the best TNA pay-per-views in quite some time.
I put it in there right about 7 and 10 too. That's probably where I'd be at. I'm picky. I try to take away my pickiness and just be entertained by these shows, but sometimes it's really hard not to see things that are glowing. So 7 out of 10. That's
yeah,
the show.
That is the show. And speaking of TNA, we are going to do we're going to go to T-Suck here real quick. I do have something else I got to get to, so we're going to have to kind of keep this short, David. But we're going to go into this and we're going to do our first TNA edition of Does He Suck. So, Mr. Josh, take us in.
It's time for Does He Suck with Josh and Steve. And now, here they are.
Well, thank you, Mr. Josh Presley, and me being the generous host that I am, I always let my co-host pick the topic for both Does He Suck and our brand new ending song of the week, and David's choice this week was the returning Gunners. So you wanted to talk about him? Keep it quick, and just tell me what you think.
Keep it quick. I'll try. they put him up there. Gunner, you know, he is fairly new to the business. I think he's only about 2.5-3 years in. They put him out there in a couple of different roles. The first time that we saw him out there, he was actually quite convincing. And his work in the ring has been coming around, but, you know, it's still a little bit slow and it's still a little bit off. The second time around, I guess, they sent him down to Ohio Valley in the developmental for TNA, and he come back up, and it's not any better. Usually when they go to developmental to try to get help with problems or try to work out a little bit more of what they're doing in the ring or who they're trying to come across as a character on TV, you know, they come back a little bit better. But he's regressed quite well. The match that they worked on Sunday wasn't that bad, and the concept of them putting the belts on him, though, was what, you know, I find questionable. But there's just things that Gunner does that don't look clean in the ring. There's things that he needs to do to clean up his look and maybe put a little bit more bulk onto him to be a little bit more credible as a superstar there in TNA. But that would be my guy. I think, personally, I think there's parts of him that suck. But he has an outline that might be good, so I'm kind of in the middle here. Does he suck or does he not suck? I think there's certain things about him that are good enough to make him suck. So there. I'll stick with my point. And I'm thinking somebody else went to the bathroom. Maybe so. Did we lose Steve? Maybe Steve hung up the phone and is maybe working Dizzle a little bit on the phone here. Well, hi, everybody. It's a good thing Steve carries this show because I'm just some geek talking into a phone. Hello. Oh, my phone says we're still connected, so I'm going to keep talking.
No, I was here. My line got muted real quick. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm not sure what happened.
I was just thinking maybe you were going to the bathroom. I don't know. I was trying to be
entertained. Yeah, well, normally I go to the bathroom during gun matches, but yeah, sorry about that. My CPR wanted to mute my line real quick for some reason. So anyways, yeah, I haven't seen enough of Gunner to really make an informed decision. From what I've seen of him, meh. He's a mid-carder, you know, whatever. But, yeah, it's your call. You know, you're the guest host. You're determining if he sucks or not. So let me know.
I'm in the middle of the road, but I'm saying right now some of the stuff that he does absolutely sucks. He needs to go back and get off camera or get back into Ohio Valley system and learn how to carry certain things in matches and parts of his promo, you know, being able to talk and relate to a camera and not look like such a goof, because he's goofy looking, the beard doesn't help, and trying to get the rub from James Storm, okay, well, that's cool, but if James Storm isn't there to help you work through that rub, you know, you're not going to get over, you're just going to be another mid-card geek, you know? You might as well bring Robbie E. back out. You might as well bring Robbie E. back out, because somebody's got to do the job, and either or. So, you know, I'm thinking the only reason that Gunnar is actually getting this kind of an opportunity is probably because he works cheap.
Probably,
and I'm not, like,
shooting
on anybody or saying that. That's just business. That's how it goes.
That is business. And so you determine that you think he sucks right now?
I do think he sucks right now with the optimal potential to be better and not sucking at some point in the future.
All right. Well, he sucks right, then he gets the He Sucks song.
Didn't you fucking step on?
Totally sucks.
Yep, so Gunnar sucks. I wish we could have had more time for that, but we have a couple other things we have to get to. But that was He Suck. We will bring back hopefully a much more full version on our regular show next week. Speaking of, like, we are going to debut something brand new. It is a new concept that I came up with because, you know what, I just can, and I'm the host of the show, and that's what I do. So I have an intro for this as well because, you know, like I said, I'm the host. I just make shit up. So I'm going to cue it to myself. So, hey, me, take it away.
I just have one question for you.
Are you ready?
Because it's time to top that talk.
Thank you, deep voice version of me and Triple H. This is
a brand new
segment that's called Top That Talk. And this is a completely new concept that was actually spawned by a discussion we had on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kayfabecorner, which sponsors us. This was in a raw discussion thread a couple of weeks ago. We actually had people cutting promos on each other in the discussion thread, and it was very comical, and it was very funny, and how could I not bring that to the show? That's an awesome idea. So how this is going to work is, obviously, since it's the first week, I don't have anything queued up. But for this week, I'm going to cut the first promo. And after that, this is going to be a completely listener-supported listener-supported segment. You guys, after this, can send me promos. Either send me on Twitter, @SteveD on DME, or send it to the show's Twitter, @DarkMainEvent. Or you can email us at thedarkmainevent@gmail.com, or you can Facebook me. My Facebook is Steve Domain, and send it to me in a message. From now on, after this week, you guys are going to send in promos. So if you guys don't send anything in, this segment won't happen, and that would be really bad because I think this is an awesome idea. I will give you guys a topic each week. I'm just going to cut a random, you know, little promo on a topic you guys will hear in a second. But I will give you guys a topic, and I will play one or two that I think are really good, and then I'll let you guys vote on the winner each week, and then we'll just rerun that competition every week. It is going to be called Top That Talk because I thought saying push that promo was too kayfabe. And thanks for laughing at that. Thanks for the pity laugh. I appreciate it.
It's a shoot, brother. It's a shoot.
It's a promo /shoot. Thank you. Yeah, okay. Whatever. I'm going to cut something. So excuse me for kind of doing this on the fly. I've been thinking about this all day. But I'm going to cut this on everybody's favorite WWE champion, John Cena, like I'm going to face him in a 3 Stages of Hell match at Payback. So let me get my promo voice on here. Me. Okay. Because that's what I do before promos in the ring. That's my character. He's a music teacher. All right. We're going to work on that. So, here we go. You know, I've been seeing John Cena coming out here, and all he does is smile and laugh, and nothing's ever bothering him. And he wants to come out here after I challenge him to an ambulance match and think, oh, I'm the big bad John Cena. I'm going to tell a kiddie joke about Star Wars, and then I'm going to make a 3 Stages of Hell match. Well, let me tell you something, Cena. Me and all these people know that you're just going to do the same shit you always do. It's a 5-move set. You're going to do You Can't See Me, wave your hand in front of your face like you disappear, and you're going to act like you're Superman, and you're going to think you're going to win the match. Reality check, John. you're not winning anything, because this is a PG show. You're not going to win anything. This is three stages of hell. You've been in Last Man Standing. You've been in I Quit. You've been in brawls. You've been in no disqualification matches, but you've never been in something like this. You don't like to have back-to-back matches, and you're not going to be able to handle it, because I'm going to make sure those lumberjacks beat the crap out of you. I'm going to make sure that there are splinters in your back when I put you through those tables. And then when you're done and you can't stand and I drag you into that ambulance and you wake up in a hospital bed, John, you're going to know what pain really is. I'll see you this Sunday. And there we go. That was my shitty shoot promo, whatever, on John Cena for payback. I'm sure you guys can do better than that, and I want you to do better than that.
It was shooting. He had it going. It was working. I always mix up and just, like, try to put on different voices and different characters when I try to shoot promos, you know? And everything ends up sliding into Animal from the Road Warriors.
What a rush.
You tell him, what a rush. Yeah, that's usually what everything turns into, you know?
I hope you guys can do better than that. So I'm going to leave it open to you guys. Again, tweet me at SteveDionDME. Tweet the show at DarkMainEvent. Send an email to DarkMainEvent@gmail.com with your promo. And the topic is going to be for next week. Cut a promo on Hulk Hogan. Just because, you know what? Hogan just embarrassed me at Slammiversary. And I know you guys have a lot to say. So cut a promo on him, or I'll give you a second option. You can cut a promo on the host of this show, because I think a lot of you guys have a lot to say about me, about the show, and it's a nice, funny way to get feedback while making you guys sound really good. So start sending them in. I will play the best one or two next week on Top Bad Talk, and if you guys don't send anything in, we're not going to have this segment next week or ever again, so please don't disappoint, guys. Send them in. I really want to hear these. I'm excited. What do you think? You're going to send one in, David, right? You're going to do it?
Hogan. I'd have to cut the promo in like a Cartman voice or some kind of child's voice.
Hey,
please retire. You're old. Fuck. You know.
I didn't say you had to do it as a specific character. I just said you had to do it. So think it over. You can send one in for next week. We are going to open up the phone lines now. If you want to talk to me, you want to talk to my buddy Dizzle, hear what he has to say about anything that he hasn't spoken his mind about, which, of course, you know he will. It is 347-838-9944. Again, it's 347-838-9944. Call in. Talk to me. Talk to David. Talk to the show. Talk to yourself. While we're waiting, I have some plugs I have to get in here because I got to make some people happy. So I'm going to go do that real quick. This show, as always, is sponsored by the wonderfully awesome website, kayfabecorner.com. I happen to write for it, and I have a column going up either tomorrow or Thursday. I haven't decided yet, but I write for it. There's a little blog over there called Casual Corner that someone named Bethany does. We've got Adam Cole just joined our staff. He's got Inside the Ring with Adam Cole, giving insider views on the wrestling business. We've got a brand new column that has just recently been posted called Marking Out with Philly Joe, and that is our youngest author at 13 years old. He reviewed CM Punk versus John Cena from Money in the Bank 2011, and he'll be doing the pay-per-views every month on KFIB Corner.
Another great match.
That was a great match. It's one of my all-time favorite matches. Go check out KFIBCorner.com. Write comments in my blog. Write comments on the site, because there's also awesome interviews there. We've got Most Incredible. We've got ones with former WWE head of security Jimmy Noonan. We've got ones with Casey Carlisle and Ricky Reyes, who we've both talked about on the show. It's worth a look. Go check it out if you like this show. This show is on iTunes. Please go look us up on iTunes. Rate, review, subscribe. Tell us how awesome we are, or how much I suck, and how much you like me. Because I'm so much better than me. You can tell me how much you miss Disembodied Voice, because, you know, everybody loves Disembodied Voice. Yay, Tim. I'm so glad he's gone. I'm not. I hope he doesn't come back anytime soon. But leave 5 stars. Let people know what's going on over here. And go check out our Facebook pages. Facebook.com/KFIBCorner. Facebook.com/TheDarkMainEvent. They're there. tell us how awesome we are. Discuss with us wrestling, you know, even if it's not on the show, but discuss the show first. And while we're waiting, I'm going to leave the phone lines open for another minute because I'm sure people are trying to get through. Yeah, right. let's talk a little bit of news and notes from the week real quick. Big thing I wanted to talk about, Rampage Jackson signs with Bellator and TNA and Spike TV. I'm surprised. I mean, I know he's a wrestling fan, but Rampage in the TNA ring, I don't know.
Rampage has had a pretty turmoil-based life in the last couple of years. The problem that he had over there in Southern California was freaking out in the car and running into people and going crazy in his truck was a little bit traumatic, and he didn't really fight much after that. And then he had the one fight where he had a breakdown, and that didn't work out too well. And then he changed his complete scene, moved out of Southern California, went to London for a little while and started training out of there, and it looked like there was a little bit possibility of a comeback. But the last two UFC fights that he had didn't look all too clean and clear, and it wasn't the same Rampage at all in the octagon. Bellator is going to be a little bit different because of the level of mixed martial arts that's inside their fight circle. It's not quite the UFC, but it's not quite like I'd call Bellator a little bit more of like a AAA promotion, kind of like how minor leagues in baseball would be working. So. Just the aspect of him coming in and when having fights in Bellator and possibly working over in a cross promotion with TNA is definitely going to bring another really big name to just talking about the company.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, King Mo hasn't done a whole lot with TNA, but you kind of figure that would be the case when he's more of an MMA guy and he's not really a wrestling guy. Rampage is a wrestling guy, so I see him getting in the ring with TNA. I guess a dream match. I kind of want to see him face D-Von, only because I think that would be a really fucking awesome feud. And, who knows? Maybe Rampage is the Dennis Rodman of Aces and Eights. I don't know. But
see, I'd see somebody like Samoa Joe work out with Rampage quite well.
That would be really cool, too.
Joe is one of those guys that is... been underutilized and having him probably put into a system to where maybe he's even training Rampage and Rampage turns on him would be kind of cool just to have something different and new to have Joe in that isn't based upon a tag team or not putting him in a singles run or I don't know, something. I'm always thinking of new things to bring some of these new people in, and these wayside thoughts kind of just they go away, and then they come back. But Rampage has been talked about before for training, and we're hoping that I hope that he gets a little bit of time and learns how to work right, and maybe he'll have a couple good years there in TNA, crossing over and. Maybe having some good fights in Bellator. The Bellator system is a little bit different because of how they run tournaments instead of just fights.
Wow.
So they fight on a certain schedule, and if if Rampage can learn how to work properly and goes out on the road and is working two or three nights a week, maybe. If he wants to get paid that way, if he wants to work that hard, if he wants to put in the work to be a wrestler, like everybody else is, you got to have him put into the system and then have him actually work the system to have him draw money for TNA. Because if you hear Rampage Jackson is going to be on the road, there's people that are going to come more in for the house shows for that. So it's definitely name character that is involved in it. People want to see the name. So I think it's a good deal. I hope he can work out for both companies and promotionally put it out there and put it together in the ring.
Yeah, definitely. I think it could be really interesting, and I like Rampage, so I wish him the best and impress me in TNA. We are dry on the phone lines. What a surprise! So Dizzle, before I let you go, you got to pick the song of the week for our ending theme this week. Why don't you tell the people who selected?
Well, I picked Alberto Del Rio's theme, Mr. Alberto Del Rio, because of this remix of it. This last heel run ended, and then they paired him into a babyface, and they came out with the old theme, and it was still kind of the flat old theme, and then they reinvigorated and added some hip-hop beats to it, a little bit more Latino boom to it, and I figured that would be a good thing to end out on because, well, he's beating up Biggie Langston every week, and we're trying to remember him because he was supposed to be in there with Dolph, and they were supposed to do three ways, and they were supposed to have all this other stuff going on, and Dolph got hurt, so Alberto is probably going to be the guy we're putting over, so we're going to put over his theme. His second
all right.
theme. His remake.
His second theme. All right. Dizzle, thanks a lot for filling in this week. You did a great job. I really enjoyed having you on, and you should call in more often.
Hey, I definitely will. And anyone who can put up with me for longer than an hour on the phone has got to, like, win a medal or something, dude.
Thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate you coming on the show this week.
Thank you, man.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye. Thank you very much, Mr. David Levitt. You did a fantastic job filling in for Josh this week. Before we go, I just do want to let you guys know, if you didn't hear, Josh will be away for some time. I don't know how long it is, but that is confirmed that he'll be away from the show for a while, so I will continue to have guest hosts, and then when people get tired of trying to host with me because they don't like me, I will just continue on the show solo. We will be back on our regular time slot as usual, same time, same place, next Tuesday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 p.m. Central, 6:30 p.m. Hawaiian, right here on Blog Talk Radio. KFib Corner does present this show, The Dark Main Event. For The Dark Main Event, I am Steve DeMain, and this is Alberto Del Rio. Have a great night, Internet.